Community Matters. Solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference. From your encouraging PER, here's your host, Joshua Tubbs.
Good morning. You are tuning into Community Matters on your encouraging PER. I'm Josh Tubbs. Well, today I have officers Amy and Kenny here with me. I believe around this exact same time, I had done an interview with Officer Lovett from the Fredericksburg Police Department as well. And, you know, we talked about safety and things like that. And I thought, what better way to kick off the new year than with a discussion on safety and things like that. So without further ado, Amy and Kenny, how are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. So let's start with Amy. What got you to kind of want to be a police officer?
I went to college at Radford University and studied criminal justice with a minor in psychology. And both my parents were in the military, so it was just kind of in my nature to go that way.
Okay.
I'm actually from Colonia Beach, and the chief of police is basically, at the time, was my mentor. And I used to ride my bike around the beach, and I used to see him make arrests. It was so funny. It was so awesome what he used to do. He used to walk out on the town pier, and he would carry and arrest two people at the same time. Then actually one time I had my bike stolen, and I had a police officer come over, and he had all his gear on and everything. I said, that is neat. And ever since then, I worked like behind desk and everything, and I was never happy. And I got to a point that I want to get more into looking into more police work. And of course, he gave me an opportunity to start because he worked at another job. So, you know, I told him, hey, I want to be a police officer. So he got me going on it, and I've been enjoying it ever since.
Okay, nice. Yeah. So how long did you guys kind of like go through training for, and what was that like?
So basically, it was a year.
Okay.
Yeah, mine was 7 months in the police academy. I did it part-time. I started as an auxiliary, and I've been here 2 years in auxiliary, and I switched over to full-time. It's actually been 21 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I also started as an auxiliary, and it, like Kenny said, it was almost a year for us to do the academy, and we both worked full-time jobs while attending the academy. So I went every Tuesday and Thursday and every Saturday. And then once I graduated the academy, our chief of police hired me on full-time.
Okay, nice. All right, so now that we've gotten to go know Amy and Kenny, so safety. You know, like I was telling you before, we have a lot of moms that listen to the station and things like that. So I guess we can kind of start with like just general safety information for like being out in public and things like that. So, you know, you're a mom, you're with your kids, you go out to the park or something like that. What are some things that, you know, you might need to know?
I think for me, I am a mom and I have a little one. For me, you know, it's just being aware of your surroundings. There's so many things that can take place around you, and in this day and age, everybody's so involved with their cell phones or their tablets and don't really realize what's going on around them. And so for everybody just to take a minute and just be aware of what's going on around them, whether it's traffic or people or animals, even at that, just take a minute and just be aware of your surroundings.
Okay.
That's definitely a big thing with surroundings. When I teach the RAD program at the police department, I always tell the parents to, wherever you go or go to parks, stores, other people's houses, look around, get out of the phone, stop looking at your phone, and pay attention to the environment. And always look for a way out. If something happens, already have a plan to get out of the situation. I mean, if there's objects around that you can use as weapons, you go into stores, look around. If something does happen, like an active shooter or something like that, look for a way out. And also, when they leave the store, also have your keys in your hand and walk to your car and be prepared to, when you get in, already have your keys out, because you don't want to be fumbling around right there at your car when you have a dark parking lot.
Yeah, definitely.
So and just be aware of your surroundings is mainly.
Okay. And that actually brings up a thought of something that I'd seen a lot, probably back in like 2015, that was going around where people were putting like shirts on windshields, but it was like a thing where it would catch you off guard long enough for someone to come and get in your car. So what are some things that, you know, to be aware of when you're in a dark parking lot or, you know, there's not a whole lot of people around you?
The main thing you want to park where is lighting. That's the number one thing. You want to pay attention to the vehicles beside you. If there's people inside, just sit in your vehicle, just be aware of it. I mean, you don't want to walk around like you're scared all the time. That's kind of, but you have to prepare yourself, know what's going on in the world now. And as you get out of the car, make sure your doors are locked, because we're getting a lot of that. People are not locking their car doors. Then just be prepared if something happens. Just go into the store, do your shopping, but make sure when you come out, have your keys already in your hand and go to your car. And as you're walking to your car, don't be carrying your cell phone, looking at your cell phone. Look around your environment and see what's going on. If somebody's following you, if somebody's hiding between the cars, or there's something weird happened, like you said, somebody put a shirt over a windshield, something different. And of course, something like that does happen. It might look like it's nothing big, but I will make sure you get on the phone and call the police department and come and check it out before you even get to your car. You see something wrong with your car, call the police department and let us take care of it.
Okay. I was just going to add another good thing. If you're going to go out at night, just make sure someone knows where you're going at all times. That way, if they haven't heard from you in a while, they can check in and make sure that you're okay. Whether it's just a long extended shopping trip, at least somebody knows where you're supposed to be at.
Yeah. Okay. So now, I guess for now, you know, going off of that thought, we can go a little bit more into like safety on the road and things like that. Obviously, you know, seat belts, stuff like that. But is there anything that drivers can do to keep themselves safe and their passengers? Like, or, you know, more than just the, you know, I guess the general common sense information.
I would just go again with the cell phones. I mean, you know, we have laws against texting and driving and distracted driving, and we still see that constantly with people on their cell phones. Or, you know, I pulled up next to somebody doing their makeup the other day. And so I get everybody's in a rush nowadays, but it only takes a minute to slow down and just be aware of what's around you, whether you're walking on the sidewalk or driving a car, because a car is a very big thing that can cause a lot of damage, not only to property, but also to people. So, again, being aware and just being observant as you're driving and not messing with the radio or your cell phone or your makeup for that matter. So
that's why you keep it tuned to PER, so you don't have to mess with the radio.
There you go.
Right. That's the main thing. It's your looking around in the environment. If you're driving along, look all in your windows, and you just see if there's actually somebody following you. And if you think somebody's following you, basically you go to your local police department or you go to a fire department or a lighted or busy parking lot where there's people around. And you get on your cell phone and call the police department and say, hey, I believe somebody's following me. And give us the direction, your description of your car, description of the vehicle that you might be following you. If you happen to get pulled over by, I get a lot of questions about, how about if I get pulled over by police, if he's a real police officer? Well, just crack your window and we'll ask for your driver's license registration, and you don't have to put your window all the way down. You can get on the phone and call the police department and say, hey, I just got pulled over by a police officer. Can you verify that it's a real police officer out of your city? And the dispatchers will tell you, yeah, that's Officer Camp, and he just pulled you over. So we can verify it, and you can show, we got our IDs, our badges, but unfortunately, you can get a badge from any type of security catalog around security companies. So that's why you want to call the jurisdiction and verify that it's a real police officer pulling you over.
Yeah. Okay. So now, you know, moving on from that, safety in the home, because that should be the place where you do feel safe. Nothing should happen to you there. So what are some things that parents can do to kind of keep everything in check and locked down to make sure they're safe either through the night or just throughout the day?
I think a big thing is definitely making sure that your doors are locked. You know, that's the big thing, and that's a very easy way for anybody to get in someone's house is by an unlocked door or unlocked window. So definitely making sure all those are locked. Always, you can have a house alarm or security cameras. I personally have security cameras that text me anytime there's the slightest bit of movement, so I can see people coming and going, dropping off packages and things like that. But a security alarm is just as well, because if there's glass break and breaking and entering through a door, it notifies the police department or the jurisdiction that you're living in right away. And usually while they're notifying the agency that's in your jurisdiction, they're calling you and saying, hey, we have this alarm at your front door. Do you want us to go ahead and continue the police in, or do you think it's your cat, you know? So definitely locking your doors and some kind of security system, whether it's an alarm or camera system, is always good. I think, you know, dogs barking is also a deterrent to people breaking into homes, especially if they have a very fierce-sounding bark, is also a deterrent to some people. And I'd also say outside spotlights or floodlights. I had a friend whose car was broken into, and the second they heard the glass break in, turned on their outside lights, the person fled. And ever since then, they've left their lights on and haven't had any other issues. So lights are a very big deterrent to people.
Okay.
Yeah, criminals don't like lights.
It's like monsters in the closet.
Exactly.
But definitely security system and lighting. I always tell my trainees that, I don't want to say, I tell them to try to break into your house. I don't mean to go bust your windows open and all stuff like that. See if you can get into it. You think the house is locked, see if you can get inside. And some people are like, I'll leave this window open and leave that window. I know somebody will not be able to get in that window. Yes, they can get in your window. Also, shrubs around your house. If you're able to hide behind a shrub, you need to cut it down. So you can see when you pull up into your driveway, I wouldn't recommend running into your house. Take a couple minutes to look around your house before you even get out of the car. See if anything's different. If anything is different, call the police department. People, you know, they got these $5,000 front doors that's got the windows on the side. It's very easy. Somebody can actually punch a hole in there unlike your house and go inside. And I recommend, I mean, they make unbreakable window tint. It's pretty neat. You can put that over the window. Instead of replacing your $5,000 door, you can get this window tint, and it takes forever for a criminal to bust into a door. Just stuff like that, your lighting. If you go on vacation, make sure you stop your mail. As you know, you see a lot going on around Christmas time, people running around stealing packages off them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they do before Christmas and during the summer? They're looking around and see if there's mail around your front door. They're looking around and see if there's newspaper in your built up around your newspaper box. They're looking for that stuff, and they're casing your house. So
yeah,
basically look at your house, cut your shrubs down, and think yourself, how can a criminal get in and see if he can do it, and make sure your shrubs are cut down. Because you can be walking up to your house, and there's a criminal hanging out in the shrubs, and you open the door, he's going to force you in inside the house.
Yeah.
Now, of course, get with your family and have an exit plan. If something like this happens, how are we going to get out of the house?
Yeah.
Another great thing is just making friends with your neighbors. I mean, if you're friends with your neighbors, at least you have somebody that can watch your house or pick up the mail that's been building up if you forget to cancel or stop, put a hold on your mail.
Exactly.
As long as you have friends with your neighbors and they can go in and check on your house or check on the dogs and cats and just keep a watchful eye out for you while you're not there.
Yeah.
That's also another security protection for your house while you're not there. So,
okay. So now, you know, and you had talked about having an exit plan and constantly being aware. So, you know, I'm sure there's probably not too many kids listening right now, but what's some kind of education that parents can provide for their kids? So in the event of an emergency, you know, it's 3 a.m. and someone breaks into the house, you know, what's some ways that parents can kind of help teach their kids in this situation? You know, here's what you can do.
Well, first, I mean, you have to have a plan and go to a certain room, like maybe the parents' bedroom or something. And you can also teach your kids basic, simple self-defense things. Like I'll teach the kids, we call it pecking the eyeballs. I said, make your hand look like a little beak on a bird. And what they do, they peck their eyes. If they get picked up, they start pecking their eyes. It's pretty, they love doing that. And the kicks, they like to kick. And just have them going over some typical, somebody grabs you, and just simple self-defense techniques. It's just like a fire plan. You need to have a security plan, too.
Yeah.
It can be, hey, come, make sure if you hear something going on, rush to our bedroom. Go to a neighbor's house. Get to be friends with your neighbors.
Yeah.
Another thing that I think a lot of adults tend to forget about is kids do drills constantly all day long in schools throughout the nation. And I know for me, I haven't done whether it's a fire drill or tornado drill in forever. But these kids, they practice it constantly while they're at school, more so than the adults. And I think it's good for parents to empower the kids to, whether there's one child in the home or multiple children, empower them to be the leader of the kids while the adults are handling, you know, the situation depending on what it is, or whether the adults are on the phone with 911. Empower the kids, hey, get your brothers and sisters, go over the plan that we've discussed and, you know, execute it. Because really, they are our future leaders, and they practice this day in and day out while they're at school.
Yeah. Okay. So what are some emergency contacts or ways that, like, because like when I was growing up, my parents put the poison control number by every single phone. And I think they even had like 911 written with our address and home phone number on it. So that way, if something ever happened, it was all right there. So what's some good information that parents can kind of keep around the house for kids to be able to look at?
It's basically 911. And the only things I go with the kids, go over, I mean, if they have little kids, or go over, make sure they go over their colors, go over their numbers, because something happens, they can give a description on the bad guy, what he's wearing, what color pants he's wearing, what color shirt he's wearing. Maybe have a sheet written up just to say every time something happens, you have to go over this stuff. So we can get everything down and what happened and what the criminal looks like. But the main thing is in the 911 system.
Yeah.
And we don't want to tell kids, don't call 911 unless it's a dire emergency. I mean, yeah. The only time not to use 911 is, you know, more so when you're abusing 911.
Yeah.
Or playing prank phone calls on the 911 line. But if it's something that they need police or fire rescue for, then by all means, call 911. I think another thing is if there's someone in the home that has a medical issue, which could cause them to, you know, become unconscious for whatever reason, just make sure that the children in the home understand that, because when they do call for police and fire rescue, they're going to ask the children, hey, what's going on? Is there a medical emergency or an issue with whoever this person might be? And for the child, it's good for them to know, like, oh, mom has this or dad has this, which will help the dispatcher relay information to the police officer or the fire and rescue person that is responding to help in a medical emergency. So it's not just, you know, someone breaking into the house, or, you know, it can be medical emergencies too that children should be aware of, maybe not necessarily in full detail, but enough to get enough information to us so that we can assist.
Yeah. Okay. So this one might be, you know, kind of, I guess, overdone in movies and things like that, to the point where it might be a little bit cheesy. But, you know, like where I live, we live right across from the police department in that apartment complex. And, you know, there's the elementary school right across. So, you know, I'll see kids walking to school, you know, every day. And so what's kind of the general rule for, I guess, the whole stranger danger thing?
I mean, I think it's kind of on the parents and what they want to teach. For us, it's, you know, we try to emphasize just don't talk to people you don't know. If there's someone that you don't feel comfortable around, don't talk to them, you know, or don't engage in them. You know, it's really on the parents to kind of teach their children on how to interact with people. I mean, if someone's just walking by and saying hi and you're with your child, I don't think there's anything wrong with your child saying hi back, you know. It's not necessarily a bad person saying hi or someone, you know, trying to injure you guys. It might just be a, in general, nice person saying hi to you and your child. But, you know, there's plenty of programs out there that teach, you know, stranger danger and safety tips for children and parents. So I would encourage parents to, you know, look in their jurisdiction or wherever they may live and see if there's any programs, or, you know, bring their children by the police department and get a tour of the police department and interact with the police. And I mean, at least with our department, we have pamphlets and all kinds of, you know, stuff that we can give to the parents and the children for this kind of stuff. So
yeah.
Also check with your own jurisdiction where you live. You usually do stranger danger programs. We do it at the police department a couple times a year. And basically just play a game with your child. You get so many resources on the internet about stranger danger. I will print out pictures, color pictures for example, of a guy sitting in the vehicle, holding money out and trying to bribe the kids to come closer to his car. And at these groups, I would hold this poster up. I said, "Hey, what do you think's happening to this?" And they were explaining, "Hey, they're trying to kidnap us, and they're trying to get us money, and they're going to kidnap us." So I put the poster down, and I'll start asking them, "Oh, okay, what color was the car?" "Oh, that was a blue car." I said, "Okay, what color hair did he have?" "He had blonde hair." I said, "Was he wearing any glasses or anything?" "Oh, yeah, he was wearing glasses." And actually, I put a small license plate number at the bottom of the, and I said, "I bet you don't know the license plate number." Yeah, it's 1234. They don't forget. And another thing we do, if they actually do get grabbed, we don't have them say no, get off me, or get back, nothing like that. We have them say, "You're not my mom. You're not my dad." So it'll be no doubt people around you, around that child, that hey, this kid needs help, and this definitely is not his parents.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on a little bit from the safety, you know, there's things like National Night Out every year that parents can kind of, you know, take their kids to, and it's a great time for, you know, just kind of getting to know the, you know, the police in the area and have a little bit of fun while also getting a little bit of education with that too. So what are some things that you guys can do, or you guys do throughout the year, that's either similar to National Night Out or just ways that you kind of give back into the community?
First thing we do is called the RAD program. It's all women. There's no men involved or anything. And it's a four-week program. We do it on Tuesday nights. They can go through the Firstburg Parks and Rec. There's one coming in March and the other one coming up in May. And it's four nights. We teach them crime prevention techniques, what I just explained, when your lights at your house and cutting your shrubs down and stuff like that. The second night, we start teaching them how to block, how to kick. It's simple techniques. And the third night is the self-defense. Then the fourth night, we call it a simulation night, where we actually dress up, the instructors dress up in suits. And we'll put them like three scenarios that they have to actually fight their way out of. And we bring in the empowerment out of them. They say, "Oh my God, I can't do that." "Yes, you can do that. Well, I'll make you mad enough, you'll do it." And sure enough, they do. We do that. We also do, we go around and I teach self-defense to real estate agencies. We do that. And we also do, like I said, small classes of stranger danger. We also teach the kids somewhat self-defense. Also, like, you're getting grabbed, talk to you about the pecking of the eyes, the kicks. "You're not my mom, you're not my dad." And go back to the RAD programs. Nothing, it's no like jujitsu. You're not going to do no flips or spin around and stuff like that. It's basic techniques. And basically, an 8-year-old to an 80-year-old lady can do these techniques. You don't know how big you are, how small you are, anything. I had an 8-year-old girl threw me off of her like it was nothing. So it's pretty basic techniques.
Okay.
And some of the other, you mentioned National Night Out, which we do participate in. And we have officers that go to each community that we have in the city. And, I mean, we have the movie night in October. And we're actually going to start this summer having a movie night at the police department. And we have a side yard that's between the school, and invite people and kids to come watch a movie and meet a police officer or some of our technical team members or our canine. That way they get a little bit of what specialties we have and get to hang out and meet some of our police officers. And we also partner with Main Street and some other area businesses and set up other kinds of programs. I mean, we have Feet First, which occurs downtown to prevent safety from people getting hit with vehicles. And they put paint out, and you take off your shoes and put your feet in the paint and then put footprints all over the roadway, which is fun. The kids love it because it has paint. And we do the trick-or-treating in October, where all the downtown businesses, you know, hand out candy to the kids, and the kids dress up and walk all the way down through downtown, you know, trick-or-treating with the local businesses. We have kids camp, which...
Summer camp. Oh, yeah.
Yep, summer camp, which Kenny is a huge part of, which is a week-long for city resident kids. And they do all kinds of stuff.
The rappelling, camping, canoeing, fishing. Oh, yeah. We'll put them through their paces. Basically, it's like a mini police summer, police academy for kids.
Okay. Nice. All right. Well, one final question for you guys. You know, just we've talked a lot about safety and things like that, but, you know, if you could kind of summarize just how important safety is, at least how much it means to you guys, that you could convey in one message to any parents listening, then, or really anybody listening, you know, what would it be?
Basically, pay attention to your environment. Look around, and we're here for you. I mean, there's something you don't think it's, oh my gosh, I don't need to call the police for that. Yeah, if you think something's going on, you need to call the police. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. Your safety is more important than anything else in this world. So, you know, if you think it's nothing, it probably is something. So it's better to call than not call at all.
So we're here for.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Well, you can check them out on Facebook at Fredericksburg Police Department. You can find out all that they have going on. You can also go to, they have the link for their website there. It's on fredericksburg.gov. And you can find out different programs that they have going on, like they were talking about, and just different information that you can kind of look at and find out more about. So go online, check them out, and show them some love. Well, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to Community Matters on Your Encouraging PER. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can always email me at josh@positivehits.org. That's Josh, J-O-S-H, @positivehits.org. This show will be posted on our website. You can go online to yourper.com, hit the drop-down menu in the right-hand corner, and select Community Matters. It'll be the first show to appear, and then you can also include the link for their Facebook page there as well as the link that they have for their Facebook page to go to the website as well. So yeah, go online and check it out. Well, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to Community Matters on Your Encouraging PER, and I hope everyone has a great rest of their weekend and a wonderful day. Thanks for listening.